You turn in your Bible to John, the first chapter. Way to go, you guys. Verses 1 through 18. This is going to sound very familiar. Sounds like Genesis, but it's in the New Testament. It's the Genesis of the New Testament. Would you follow along as I read from the living Word of God as found in the Scriptures? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word. And without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life. And the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. The man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was the world, was in the world, and the world came into being through the light. But the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, but his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This is the one whom I said, he who comes after me is greater than me because he existed before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. As the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God known." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Pray with me. Merciful God, it's our privilege to be drawn by your Spirit into this place, this holy place, this place where you dwell, inviting us into fellowship with one another and with you. Speak to us once again through your Word and your Spirit of our unique calling, how you want us to share in the ministry of Christ. Equip us for service in your eternal kingdom. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. So this morning I have a question for you. Do you like science fiction? I do. I like science fiction movies. Typically I have to watch them with my youngest daughter because my wife is not that interested in science fiction movies. The last time Julia and I watched a movie was Prometheus, And it's the precursor to the Alien movie, so it explains where the alien came from. And please trust me, it's not a Billy Graham movie. But there was something that I saw in the movie that was really unique. I'd never seen it before in a science fiction movie. There's a picture of this actress who plays the lead in it, and what do you see that's different? She has a cross on. I'd never seen that before in a science fiction movie. This is set 72 years in the future from today. And she talks about being raised by a Christian father, and the seeds of faith are still in her. And the reason she became an astronaut is she's seeking the origins of the human race. Where did we come from? So part of the question in most science fiction movies is, are we the only ones here, or is there somebody out there? And if there's somebody out there, did they ever visit us? And the astounding answer to the question from the Gospels is, yes, we have been visited. My name is Chris Neen. I'm the senior pastor of the Hastings United Methodist Church. If you're joining us online or through cable access, welcome. We're glad that you're part of our extended worshiping congregation. If you're here in the church, you can reach into your bulletin and pull out a GPS. That's a Grow, Pray, and Study guide. It's there every week, as well as other devotional aids that are by the front door, and you can pick those up free of charge. We've challenged every participant in our church to set aside time during your day, or a better way to say that is make everything else in your day fit around that time that you're going to spend with God through the Word. We're going to talk a lot about the Word with a capital W today. The thing that is unique and why we continually challenge people to spend time is that these words lead us to the Word. And so the reason we want to spend time in these words is so we can increase our connection and our awareness with the Word that's around us and in us. I hope that you've taken up that challenge. Obviously, we've started a new sermon series. It's on the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is different. If you've spent any time reading the Bible, you know that the first four books of the New Testament are about the life of Jesus. But the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are very different than John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were the earliest versions of the gospel, written from the perspective of these people who had known Jesus. And what those three gospels do is they tell us what Jesus did. They tell us where he was born, whom he was born to, where he visited, what he said, what he did. And there's an invitation in every single one of those gospels that says this: Jesus says, come and follow me. Come and join me in this ministry to heal this world. So a church like this is an expression of people, men and women, who have followed Christ. And rather than us being people that are better than other people, really what we are is hungry people telling other hungry people where they can find bread. But John is different, because John didn't write his gospel until 50 years after the Christ event, and he's answering a different question. He's not answering what Jesus did. He's answering the question, why did God do it? Why did God send his son to us? What is behind this? What's the motivation? What's the logic behind this? And so we turn into this text and you hear these incredible words. No one's ever seen God. No one's ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at his Father's side, he's the one who made God known. Jesus is the one who made God known. What this first 18 verses is in the Gospel of John, it's called an overture. In music, an overture is the thing that sets the tone for everything else that's going to follow. So if there's an overture, like in the movie The Sting, you hear this ragtime, you know that it's going to set the tone for what this whole movie is going to be like. Well, I've got an example of this from one of the best-known movies ever. It's a classic. Let's see if you can guess what it is. Give your attention to the screen. Gone with the Wind. There you go. All right. Right. And so if you listen to the whole overture, a composer will tell the story that's going to be told in those first few moments of music. Well, John is doing that. John's setting the stage. He's setting the table. He's saying, this is the story that I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you about the God who loves you so much that he sent his only son. He sent himself into the world to communicate directly with us. If you're following along, you notice how many times John uses the word, word. And if you notice carefully in the text, it's with a capital W. So it must be kind of a special word. In fact, what we're talking about is a word that is a thing. It's a word that has power. And there's the belief in the Hebrew faith passed on to the Christian faith that words have power. It talks about that right at the very beginning, that when God says something, something happens. God creates everything through words. We know some of that in our own interaction with one another, in our own families. You listen to some testimonies where people say, well, I was verbally abused. Use words of abuse, you experience abuse. You use words of anger, you experience anger. You use words of lust, you experience lust. But conversely, you use words of hope, and you experience hope. You use words of faith and joy and love and redemption. You experience faith, hope, love, and redemption. These are different words. These aren't destructive words. They're hope-filled words. They're words that are intended to lead us into a new life and a better life. The word, that's an English word, is actually in Greek it's called, we say logos, but it's logos. And what that means is it's logic. That's where we get the word logic from, which is the it's concerned about truth. It's concerned about why things happen the way that they happen. It's connecting the dots. So John is saying, this is the logic of God. Jesus is the logic of God. Jesus explains why God did everything that God has done for us. Without this presentation of God's self, it would be so difficult for us to have any idea about who God is. When people are new and they're coming into the 12-step program that I'm involved in, most of the time people are really mad at God. But if you scratch beneath the surface, really where they've gotten their information about God is from people that don't know anything about God. They're just one ignorant person telling another person what they don't know. And so part of the reason that we say, where is it written? Part of the reason we turn to this book is because we don't know anything except it for these words that describe the Word to us. There's a parable about that. It actually comes from India. Remember the story of the six blind men and the elephant? I remember hearing about this story when I was a kid. And it was just kind of a good story when you're a kid, but there's a deeper meaning to it. It's a theological meaning to it. There's these six blind men. They can't see anything. They come across this elephant, but they don't know what an elephant is. So one of the men is touching the side of the elephant. He says, well, this is a wall. He says, you're nuts. He's standing over there, he's holding onto the leg, and he says, this is a pillar. Another person's holding onto the tail, and he says, it's a rope. Another is touching the ear, he says, well, this is a fan. Others holding onto the trunk. He said, well, this is a snake. And of course, the parable does a great job telling us that with our limited faculties, it's very difficult for us to have any comprehension of who God is. But there's a flaw in the parable. At least from a Christian perspective. What if the elephant speaks and tells the blind man who he is? That's not a fan, that's my ear. That's not a rope, that's my tail. That's not a pillar, that's my leg. That's not a wall, that's my side. I'm an elephant. This is what I'm like. That's what the Christ event is. God is speaking to us through Christ about who God is. A man named Origen was trying to describe this. He's one of the early church writers. And he said, the Christ event is like this. He said, imagine going to a village and there's a statue. It's so humongous that it goes up into the clouds and you can't really comprehend what the statue is. Like the Statue of Liberty. If you're standing at the foot of the statue, have you ever seen those pictures of people standing by the Statue of Liberty? The toe is about this big. You'd have a hard time understanding. But then somebody comes along and they made a miniature version of the big thing. It's eye level. You can see it. You can walk around it. Origen said that's what the Christ event is. That's the original Statue of Liberty. Did you know that? It sits in a park in Paris. And the little one can tell you what the big one looks like in New York Harbor. The reason Jesus is unique and special is because Jesus is God wrapped in human skin. And rather than other people, Moses or Abram or somebody else speaking for God, God speaks for God's self. God tells us what God wants us to know. God makes promises, God's promises, directly to us. God invites us, hey, come and follow me. What you're experiencing right now is not what I intended for your life. I have a better plan for you. Come and follow me and let me show you the plan that I have for your life. So let's go back to Prometheus for a second. Have we ever been visited? The first chapter of John says, yes, we have been visited. The amazing claim of the Christian faith is that there is something beyond the universe, because the universe is created. This being is uncreated, but this being cares enough about creation to enter into the universe, enter into the solar system, enter into our planet, enter into our time in order to communicate directly to us. This being loves us. The astounding thing is that when we look into the face of this Creator, the Creator is smiling back at us. And although it's difficult for us to embrace because we are so broken on the inside as we look back over the things that we've done, He speaks this word of acceptance to us. He speaks this word, like the song that we just sang, the thing that will be going through my head this week, I'm redeemed. The redemption that's available to us today and every day, we know about it because of Christ. You see, God is speaking to you and to me through Christ. The question every day is, are we listening? Amen?